Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, sitting across from our lifelong pastor, John Bell. And what we do here on Off the Cuff, if you're new to listening, is we have a subject. And then I ask John the question of that subject. And then we kind of go down the road and I'll maybe ask some follow-up questions or another point will come up. And then we go down that road for a while. But it's always scripture-based. And everything we say is backed up by scripture. You can go check it out. It's not opinion. It's not John's opinion. It's not my opinion. The questions are given in a spirit of tell me more. And this block we were talking about is America under God's judgment. And more particularly, last time we left, you know, the last three or so episodes were kind of, in your face. Like it's, John.
Bad news.
Bad news, exactly. Yeah, not so great news for America. But the way John left it last time was, John, here's the question. Is there any hope?
All right. That's a good question, Dean. And I think God's way of helping us out of the quagmire, mm-hmm. whether it's personal, family, or even nations and cultures, is he tells us the truth. God's like going to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You never want a doctor who's so kind that they will lie to you. Because that's not kindness, that's cowardice.
Smell practice,
yeah. So you want a doctor, and you want a lawyer mm-hmm. who will start and say, here's the truth about your situation. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Romans 1 is basically a step-by-step process of the downward spiral of nations and cultures. And I would say it even extends out to individuals. And the key verse in there is verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed, for the wrath of God, the judgment of God. So he's going to tell you ahead of time, yes, I'm going to bring wrath, because God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. God's a God of mercy and compassion, but he's also a God who brings judgment. So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And how what did they do? They suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. So how do they keep the truth pushed down? By the unrighteous way they live, by the unrighteous way that they think. And just to recap quickly, we talked about different kinds of wrath. There's eternal wrath, eschatological wrath, cataclysmic, consequential. And then the wrath, I think, that America may have set in motion is the wrath of abandonment. And abandonment is simply means that God turns away from an individual and he turns away from a nation. So God essentially abandons sinners to their own choices and the consequences of their choices. And we talked about lies. Remember, we talked about lies. We said there's some big lies out in our culture today in the public square. Life's random. Truth's relative. People are basically good. You have the power to be whatever you want to be. Goal of life is pleasure. So all that stuff is just blatant self-delusion. And then we talked about the steps that a culture or a nation goes through. First, they go through the lusts. They give themselves over to the lusts of their heart, which leads to impurity. That's step one. Step two is God gives them over. This is Romans 1:24, 1:26, and 1:28. So 1:26 is the second step. God gave them over to degrading passions. So in other words, it gets worse, right? Their perversion, their passion now is on display in their body. And it happens for both women and men. And then step three is then the downward spiral, you know, then you start circling the drain really fast. And from verse 28 to verse 32, there's just a description of a society totally breaking down. And then that's that. As we finish those three, then you basically said to me, John, is there any hope? You know, once a nation starts in this path, on this path, is there any hope? And yes, there is. In fact, Psalm 81, you know, is it's one of those, I would encourage every person out there to read through it. And I would encourage every person out there to pray through it. We've talked in the past, Dean, you'll say sometimes, you know, people I talk to about prayer, mm-hmm. and they will say to you, hey, after about a minute, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm right? out. My tank's empty.
Yeah, my tank's empty. I don't know what. So we talked about prayer and we talked about how to pray.
Right.
You know, and just how that works. One of the ways we talked about was it's really important to learn to pray through Scripture. That's one of the things that I do. I don't do it every time I'm reading Scripture. Sometimes it's just for pure study and I'm digging deep. Prayer is in there, but I'm not praying through. But sometimes, you know, I think the Psalms are just a great opportunity. Not just the Psalms. I mean, you can pray through just like any passage, especially when you sense the Holy Spirit is like impressing something on you. But the Psalms in particular, the Psalms really, if you look through the Psalms, they're basically prayers. A lot of the writers are talking to God. I mean, that's kind of what they're saying, or they're talking for God. And a typical pattern, I mean, this is great. This is a pattern in Psalms, is the guy is just like overwhelmed and he's depressed and he feels like he's surrounded. His enemies are after him, even David, you know, or David after he sinned, you know, he's praying and he says, restore unto me the joy. He's asking the Lord. That's a prayer.
Very downcast. He is, very much.
So, but even something like that's giving instruction, like Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. That was one. Psalm 1 and Psalm 23, I probably learned by the time I was 6 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad said to me about Psalm 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
He says, remember, John, there's a progression. First, you start walking with sinners. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Then you stand, they stop you. You stop walking and you start listening to them. And the next thing you know, you're sitting on a bar stool. You sit in the seat of the scornful, right?
Right.
And it's like, there's the progression. Walk, stand, sit. And I, you know, that he told me that when I was like 6 or 7. It's like, I'm like, you know, and you're a little kid, you don't even understand all that.
Exactly.
But it was there. So all I'm saying is there's wonderful instruction. You know, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, if you want comfort, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Right? So you can use these Psalms. So all that to lead up to Psalm 81, which is, I think, the antidote. What's the antidote?
Yes.
To Romans 1 and a downward spiral? Well, here it is. Let's just go.
Absolutely.
Let's line by line. Hopefully this will be a blessing. And I would encourage all of you who are listening to this to you know, go to Psalm 81. However you want to go, use your Bible, use your iPad, use your phone, whatever. The wonderful thing about the all the apps today and just everything available is it's only
notice.
Increased accessibility to God's word. Yes, we said it's increased accessibility to pornography,
right?
But it's also increased accessibility to this wonderful resource called the Word of God. So is there any hope? Psalm 81. So verse 11, these first two verses are going to sound like Romans 1. Okay, so listen. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. Right? So we could say, but America did not listen to God's voice. There was a time, you know, our Constitution, whether people, you know, were they Christians? Probably not. There were some Christians, right?
Right.
There were a lot of deists that were part of the founding of this country. And here's what a deist is. A deist is someone who believes that God is a clockmaker. But he was involved. He created. And this country, the early settlers, the phrase "the city on a hill," that was part of the Puritans. And the Puritans played a huge part in the founding of this country. Their theology wasn't, you know, exactly what it should be, but they really believed that God was doing something very special here in the United States of America, and that we were to be a city on a hill. So what's happened over the course of 250 years, longer than that, but especially from like a constitutional standpoint, our leaders have stopped listening to God. I mean, they make a show of it, but they've really stopped listening to God. And it also says, and Israel did not obey me. They certainly don't obey. So listen to verse 12, right? This sounds like Romans 1. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk by their own plans. This is what Romans 1 says. I gave them up. I abandoned them. The worst, we talked about the prodigal son. The worst thing that you can possibly have happen to you is someone that you're looking to guide your steps and mentor you and help you and instruct you, is for them to say, I'm done. You're stubborn. You argue with me. I'm sure you experienced this trying to teach your kids. It's like, you know, and they're just like, but. Yeah, right. It's like, okay, you know what? Try it your way. Let's see how that works. But then he goes on to say, this is God's heart. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. So, you know, I don't think Christians should give up on America. I don't think we should give up on our country. I mean, this is not the promised land. This is not the promised land. But I do believe that God has raised up the United States. There's never been a country. This is an amazing experiment. Someone asked me once, they go, what are some of the things that make it amazing? I go, here's one. We change governments every 4 years, and generally, not always. I mean, they're making a big deal out of 2020, but we change governments, and we change without a war. You know,
right.
We may disagree, we may not like the results, but we change, and we accept that. And our country has always been. This is another thing I think that's dangerous for us. We've always been a country of laws. I told you this before. A typical American in years gone by, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and they're out in the country and no one's around and they pull up to a stop sign, they will stop. There are countries in the world where it's high noon and there's a stop sign and they'll go right through it.
Right,
you know,
right.
Traffic signs are just suggestions.
Yeah.
So we've been a nation of laws. So he says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my way. So what I think we should be doing, we should be involved. We should be involved as much as we possibly can. Don't get nasty. Don't get mean. Don't get caught up in the anger of the moment. But we should be involved. Certainly vote. Don't be an isolationist. You know, you're in the culture. Here's what we're told to be. We're told in Matthew 5, you're to be salt and light. We're to be illuminating, telling people the truth, light. And we're to be salt. We're to be a preserving influence in the society. And also, we add flavor to the society. Mm-hmm. So one of the key things for me has always, a key verse for me has always been, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, right? Mm-hmm. So, oh, that people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Now listen to verse 14. Is there hope? Is there hope? Verse 14.
I'm waiting.
I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend to obey me, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. So is there good news? It all depends. Mm-hmm. You know what it depends on? It depends on our response to the situation. One of the things you said a couple broadcasts ago was you do see a turn. You do see hope.
Yeah, the pendulum seems to be
swinging. Kind of what has to happen. It's like people are starting, maybe people are starting to come to their senses and go, you know what?
This is crazy.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
So let me ask you a question, because I manufactured some hope myself, and I want to make sure that it's scripturally sound. Would it be fair to say that when Jesus was dying on the cross, that God looked down and he abandoned Jesus?
That is really hard. Did he abandon him?
Because he's, you know, the forsaken. Can we put that word in?
Jesus felt like he turned his back. He
abandoned.
Because it actually says, you will not abandon my soul to hell. So no.
Not to hell, though. I mean, so what I'm saying, what I'm asking you for just scripture knowledge. So you're saying no.
I'm saying that, you know, what Jesus dreaded most in the garden, what he was praying out about in the garden, was not the physical suffering. It was that for a very short time.
Right. He turned away
from him. When he bore the sins of the world.
All the ugly sins.
Right.
Jesus.
Right.
And God can't look at sin.
But again, Dean, because the Godhead is so complex that, you know, you and I, we don't even understand the complexity of that. I've told you before, Jesus at any moment is answering 10 million prayers.
Right.
And so, you know, God the Father... The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in essence. Mm-hmm. They're three persons, but they're one in essence. It's impossible to break up that essence. Now, as a human being, which is what Jesus is, as a human being, yes, as a human being, Jesus is suffering, and he's the only one that has the capability of doing this. He's suffering as a human being. What it would feel like, not as God, but as a human being, he's suffering what it would feel like if God the Father broke communion with you. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say.
All right.
I can't go any farther than that.
All right. Well, I'm sure you can, but I understand right now that's what we can take. I get it. All right. Well, the good news is there's hope. And
it's always interesting to me how you go in a direction that we haven't been talking about at all. You go down rabbit trails, but I'm happy to do that.
That's good. And you know what? You never disappoint. So you've been listening to Off the Cuff with our lifelong pastor, John Bell. And we hope you enjoyed this mini series. And we invite you to come back, because we have more scriptural-based podcast coming up right here on Off the Cuff. On behalf of John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale, saying we look forward to speaking to you next time.